Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean.
Coming this March 17th, Dublin's very own talk show leprechaun, Sean O'Hannity.
Top of the morning to ya. This is your right-wing, ultra-conservative leprechaun, Sean O'Hannity. Let's go to the phones now and to Bruno. Hello, Bruno.
Sean, you know what I think? I think you're nothing but a low-down, no-good, self-righteous little son of a bitch.
Hey, now watch your language there on the Sean O'Hannity show, Bruno. Now I'm going to have to Hannitize ya with me lucky shillelagh. See you there, Bruno. I turned you into a jackass, like you weren't one already. Who's next on the Sean O'Hannity show? Hello?
Hey, Sean, I'm a liberal Democrat, and I think you and Rush Limbaugh are a couple of right-wing, wife-beating, egomaniacal, Republican, vomit-spouting, bombastic, warmongering, heinous, antifreeze drinking.
Right there. Well, let me tell you what I think. I think I'm going to Hannitize ya.
Oh, what am I saying? I think you and Rush Limbaugh are great. I love you.
Well, that's what we like to hear. Peace and love on the Sean O'Hannity Show. Who's next? That's Jimbo incoming.
Hey.
What?
Hey, Sean.
What?
Hey.
What?
Look, listen, I got my Confederate flag in the back of my pica.
You know what, Jimbo? You're nothing but a redneck loser for a lost cause. Who's next?
It's stimulating conversation with Dublin's very own conservative leprechaun, Sean O'Hannity. Call and be Hannitized.
Top of the morning to ya, ya coward.
Sean Hannity.
Ah, like St. Paddy's Day. Oh, happy St. Paddy's Day. A bit of the Irish in ya. Oh, you know what? I'm so thankful. I need to get on my knees and thank God St. Patrick's Day is on Saturday this year and not on Friday. You cannot believe how awful it St. Patrick's Day is in New York City. I mean, I don't think there's been a year that I haven't watched and witnessed somebody vomiting in public view in the streets green beer. I have no idea what the attraction of drinking green dyed beer is, but everybody drinks it on St. Paddy's Day. And for whatever reason, you see, I think it plays into this false narrative stereotypes about Irish Americans being big drinkers. Now, I happen to be Irish, so I can say whatever I want. You know what a seven course meal for an Irishman is? Do you know what this is? A six pack.
No, because I've never heard this before in the 12 years I've been with you. This is the first time.
A six pack and a potato. Ha ha ha. Oh, and by the way, I'm not offending myself either because everyone feigns outrage. I've told that joke for at least 15 years. You know, sometimes you can say things that are really funny, but you can't. The only one that has any freedom in radio anymore is Howard Stern. I listen to his show. I'm so jealous. I listen to this guy. And he, by the way, the guy doesn't have a mean bone in his body. He's highly entertaining and nobody cares the outrageous things he says. I don't even want to call attention to it because then, you know, some idiot is going to feign outrage and act all offended because Howard is just being Howard from all the years back, except with a little more raw because he doesn't have any filter of being on air. He's on satellite radio. It's unbelievable.
If you're a conservative, you better watch every single thing you say, because they're just monitoring, hoping and praying one word, one sentence, you know, one phrase. Well, we can use it. We'll boycott you. And that's our way of silencing you because we don't like your political opinions. You know, it's like we've lost an ability here to laugh, and we've lost a certain degree of honesty. I despise Bill Maher probably more than anybody, but I'm kind of glad Bill Maher does the country a service, because he refuses to give in to this. And I got to give him a lot of credit for courage. And in spite of the stupidity and the garbage he spews, at least the guy is trying to give honest opinion for him. Now, he's dead wrong on everything, but that's neither here nor there. And by the way, the people going after him all the time are people on the left. It's conservatives that fight and protect freedom of speech and the free and open exchange of ideas and opinions, no matter how controversial. And everybody that always feigns that they're so outraged and aggrieved, they're really not. Because if you're really reacting that dramatically, and it's so impacting your precious emotional state because of the words that come out of somebody's mouth, when you don't even have to listen to that person or watch that person. I can't buckle down, you know, 20 million people every day, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 on the West Coast, and make you or force you to listen to this radio program. But I invite you, and the way I invite you to this radio program is to try and do, in this particular case, we do news and information and opinion, and we'd probably do more journalism than the entire, quote, journalists that think they're journalists that are nothing but a bunch of phony hacks that are literally, they've lost their collective minds and have been lying to the American people over Trump-Russia collusion that we know doesn't exist. And they're missing the biggest corruption scandal, abuse of power scandal that we've ever had in our lifetime. Hence, a perfect dovetail to today's breaking news. This is unbelievable. Now, of course, we're on McCabe watch. McCabe's done. It's either going to be today or tomorrow. But McCabe is finished. I'm told by multiple sources he's out. And not only that, and again, they're doing this before this guy would get his pension. So whatever he did is that bad. Because if you put in your 20, 25, 30 years of the FBI, you've really got to do something egregious to put your pension in jeopardy. And the fact that they're now going to do this before this guy officially retires tomorrow, it speaks volumes. Now, before I even give you the new details, there was a story out today quoting a former FBI assistant director, Chris Swecker, on Fox News, telling Harris Faulkner he believes the Justice Department, the Inspector General's report, is going to be, quote, some pure TNT. The behavior, if it's manifested in the action with your thumb on a scale of a particular investigation one way or the other, that's borderline criminal behavior, manipulating an investigation. Well, you can also use the words obstructing an investigation. And I think the IG report is going to be particularly impactful, so that they're so more so than any of these useless congressional investigations. I think you're going to see some pure TNT come out of the report. I don't know. But whatever's in that IG report resulted first in McCabe being suspended for the period of time leading up to his soon-to-be firing. And whatever is in there is that bad that I'm told that the least of his worries, meaning McCabe, has nothing to do with his retirement or pension. It has everything to do with potential criminal liability. Now, the new news we have today, I think the best summary comes from our own SarahCarter.com, breaking even more news. I mean, she has done a really fast, deep dive into what was only released about noon this afternoon. And newly redacted text messages discovered by congressional investigators reveal that the embattled FBI agent at the center of the Russia investigation controversy, this is the guy Peter Strzok. Remember, he's the one that initiated this whole thing in his own way. He was the one that interviewed Hillary finally before they exonerated her. He was the one writing the exoneration with James Comey before the investigation. He's the one that also interviewed Michael Flynn. This guy has been up to his eyeballs in pretty much everything. How this guy still has a job is beyond any comprehension I have. But anyway, what we learned today is that this guy, Peter Strzok, was close friends with a District of Columbia judge, the same guy that recused himself from the criminal case over the former National Security Advisor, General Michael Flynn. Remember, then he's on the FISA court. He's one of the four FISA judges that we've been talking to you about, you know, that was fed false information, the bulk of information coming from the Hillary Clinton bought and paid for dossier. Now, these new text messages, remember, there's over 50,000 of them. We've only had about 1,000 revealed to date. Now, these just came out, again, is it about 3 hours and 15 minutes ago, and it shows that Peter Strzok and his lover, the FBI attorney for Andrew McCabe, this is so incestuous, were discussing Strzok's relationship with Judge Rudolph, Contreras. And is that his name? Yeah, Rudolph Contreras, who presided over the December 1st hearing of Michael Flynn. This is when Michael Flynn pled guilty to lying to the FBI. By the way, remember, Comey didn't even think Michael Flynn was lying, nor did Peter Strzok think he was lying, and Strzok interviewed him. Now, anyway, so that happened. So then that raises the question. The new judge in the Michael Flynn case, he's asking and demanding all exculpatory evidence from the FBI be handed over to him, and he'll decide what actually is exculpatory. General Flynn is going to have this case thrown out. Let me just jump ahead of myself for a second here. Anyway, so he was the judge in that particular case, and when Michael Flynn pled guilty, and by the way, and Strzok was removed from Robert Mueller's special counsel's office after the anti-Trump text messages between him and Lisa Page were discovered by the inspector general, Michael Horowitz. But remember, on December 7th, without warning, Judge Contreras was removed as the presiding judge in the Flynn case, and little information was given at the time as to why Contreras was removed. Well, the DOJ officials haven't responded to any comment yet, but if you look at the key exchanges here, you got a text message chain, again, between the lovers Page and Strzok on July 25th, 2016. She writes, Rudy, meaning Judge Contreras, is on the FISA court. Did you know that? Just appointed 2 months ago. She's like giddy with excitement. And at that point, the pair continues to discuss other issues, but they keep coming back to Contreras. And then Strzok says, I did. We talked about it before and after, meaning before he became the judge on the FISA court and after he became the judge. I need to get together with him. And then later, Strzok appears to, you know, again return to the discussion about Contreras. And Page says, well, thought of it because you had to Google FISA court judges and him there. I'm telling you. And Strzok says, well, she brought up a good point about being circumspect and talking to him in terms of not placing himself in a position or situation where he'd have to recuse himself. Paige, I can't imagine you'd either one of you would talk about anything in detail meaningful enough to warrant recusal. And Paige then goes back to discussing a different issue, saying, anyway, maybe you meant to but didn't. And Strzok says, really, Rudy? I'm in charge of espionage for the FBI. Any espionage FISA application comes before him. What should he do, given his friend oversees them? This is so bad. And Page says, well, standards for recusal are quite high. I just don't think this poses an actual conflict, and he doesn't know what you do. And Strzok says, well, generally, he does know what I do. Not maybe the level or scope, but he's super thoughtful and rigorous about ethics and conflicts, redacted, suggested a social setting that others would probably be better than one-on-one meeting. In other words, they want to meet with the guy. Do you understand how bad this is? Do you understand how giddy they are here? Hey, I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to invite you. Now he wants to invite his girlfriend to the party, and then he says, we'll have to come up with some other work people cover for action. Why more? Six is perfectly fine for a dinner party. Now, I'll explain what this all means when we get back, but this is massive. The level of corruption is so deep, so wide, that I can't even explain how bad this all is, but I'll find a way when we get back. So understand how profound this is, that we have the judge that recused himself, who presided over the hearing involving National Security Advisor Michael Flynn pleading guilty to the FBI, his best friends with Peter Strzok. And that Peter Strzok has a deeply held relationship with Judge Contreras. And then we've got people like Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows at the House Oversight Committee. They apparently discovered either today, this morning, or yesterday. It was only released at noon today. These text messages during their ongoing investigation of the FBI and their handling of alleged Trump-Russia collusion. And that investigation, that after 14 months has now been closed down by the House Intel Committee because there's no evidence after now 18 months. Then it gets to the whole issue of, you know, why this was ever happening. And Peter Strzok is at the center of all of this. And congressional investigators, by the way, can only review the less redacted versions. Now, remember, all this information at the Department of Justice, Rod Rosenstein, he has a lot to answer for, because Rod Rosenstein was begging on hands and knees for Paul Ryan to reverse what was a subpoena by the House Intel Committee. And thank God Paul Ryan held his ground hours before the deadline, because that's the only way we discovered, the only way the Nunes memo came out, and the only way the Grassley-Graham memos came out, which showed the bulk of data that was used in the FISA applications, in fact, was the Hillary Clinton bought and paid for dossier, and that it was unverified, it was not corroborated, and further still, they purposely misled a FISA court by omitting the fact that it was Hillary Clinton bought and paid for, and they knew as much. Now, all of which we're talking about here are real crimes with real evidence. Never mind the whole, you know, Clinton email fiasco. She knew darn well that it was illegal to mishandle classified, secret, top secret, special access program information. She did it to bypass congressional oversight. And then she deleted, subpoenaed 33,000 subpoenaed emails. And then she acid washed, used bleach bit on the hard drives, and then busted it up with hammers. You know, why did Contreras recuse himself? Text messages show his relationship with Strzok. Why did the DOJ make it so hard to get this information? These are fundamental questions here. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. Let me just explain again what we've got here. So thank goodness for people like the, again, the people that I trust in Washington today. I mean, there's not many of them, and they're all members of the Freedom Caucus. And, you know, people like Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows. Anyway, they're with the House Oversight Committee, and what they discovered is these text messages during this ongoing investigation into the FBI handling of alleged Trump-Russia collusion. Now, this is only the beginning. McCabe is going to be fired within today or tomorrow. I've been pretty much told that again and again. So assuming my sources are good here, that's going to happen. But under rules established by DOJ officials, congressional investigators, remember, they only got this information that became the Nunes memo that contributed to the Grassley-Graham memo. They only got it because they fought for it. And Devin Nunes literally had to subpoena this information. Rod Rosenstein, who appointed Mueller, he didn't want this information out. We wouldn't have this information about this relationship between Strzok and Page and Contreras and all the comments about, well, what is the insurance policy and on and on and on, but for Devin Nunes and at the last minute Paul Ryan fighting hard to make sure that this all goes the right way. Anyway, we've got 50,000, if you can believe it, 50,000 text messages, emails between these two lovers. And anyway, so under these rules, you know, the only way that these Congressional Oversight Committee can see it is they have to go over to another building in the DOJ at their headquarters, and they only get to see redacted versions of text messages. And anyway, in the process of doing this, they discovered this relationship between Strzok and this guy, Contreras, this judge that's now on the FISA court, but he's the same judge that presided over Michael Flynn's case where he pled guilty in, you know, for misleading the FBI. And so that raises questions. Well, why did Contreras recuse himself? Because Strzok and Page are talking about, you know, as I was just mentioning to you, I, meaning Strzok, am in charge of the espionage for the FBI. Any espionage, FISA application, comes before his best friend, Contreras. What should we do, given, you know, his friend oversees what the FISA judge is seeing? Well, that would be an automatic recusal. Although Page is arguing, well, standards for recusal are high. I don't think it poses any actual conflict. And Strzok is, well, yeah, he generally knows what I do. And then they're setting up a dinner party between all of them. Now, you got to understand, why did Contreras then recuse himself? Now, what the text messages are showing here is this relationship that the judge had with Strzok. Now, why would the DOJ not make this available and make it so hard for Meadows and Jordan to find? Now, these questions are simple and fundamental. Why Rod Rosenstein was so quick to appoint Robert Mueller based on Jim Comey leaking privileged information to the Columbia professor who leaked it to the New York Times for the very purpose of getting a special counsel to hurt Donald Trump? This is, you understand here, when you put it all together, all of this together, and this is important. You've got Hillary Clinton, who's guilty of 18 U.S. Code 793, mishandling classified information, destruction of such information. She is violating a congressional subpoena, deleting emails, acid washing hard drives, bleach bit, and then busting up these devices with hammers. Then she's fixing primary elections against Bernie Sanders. And then it goes, then we, if you can believe it, then we've got the whole issue of the dossier. It took a year to find out that it was Clinton that paid for the phony Russian dossier that was put together, oh, by an outsider, not an American. I thought foreign interference in our elections were so bad. And that would be Christopher Steele. And Christopher Steele then, of course, puts together, uses his phony Russian sources, and he's working with Fusion GPS. You've got a compliant media that hates Trump and loves Hillary, and they're all willing to spread a phony, unverified dossier, Russian lies to the American people to put the fix in on the general election. After all, it worked so well against Bernie Sanders in the primary election. This is not that hard to follow. It seems like it is, but it is not. And then I can go on from here. You know, the text messages show a lot of context in terms of the communications. And as Jim Jordan said, it's clear this back and forth exchange showed that Strzok and Page were friends with Contreras, or at least Strzok was. But we still need a lot of questions answered here in terms of the discussion regarding recusal and whether it has to do with Russia or if they're referring to another case. And but what we do know is Contreras recused himself after the guilty plea, and nobody knows why. Now, as Meadows said in Sarah Carter's article, the recusal of a judge is a very high bar. And I think from my standpoint, we're asking the Department of Justice, the FBI, to give us all the documents that they need to do their job, which is congressional oversight. Failing to be able to provide Congress with these documents in an expeditious manner would certainly strengthen the case for a special prosecutor. And that brings us to where we were yesterday. And thank God the demands have now grown for a special counsel from four separate senators, John Cornyn, Lindsey Graham, Tom Tillis, and who's the other one? Grassley of Iowa. And thank God they're doing it. Now, I'm also told that, now think about this. This is where all this information is coming from. We have a former FBI official, that top official, that's saying that this Inspector General report contains pure TNT. Now, here's the problem with the Inspector General. And as Sarah Carter was saying yesterday, and she'll be back with us today, the Inspector General, this not only includes Hillary and the laws and the felonies she committed and that, that happened, that the fix was in with Comey and Page, and it looks like Strzok and Page and McCabe. McCabe's about to get fired, but that losing his pension is should be the least of his worries, and the same with Jim Comey, and the same with everybody else involved in all of this. Because if we do care and have a fidelity to the Constitution and the rule of law and equal justice under the law, there are going to be people with a lot of charges thrown against them because we've identified all the charges vis-a-vis Greg Jarrett on this very show. And all of this information is important. Now, Congressman Jordan is going to join us. Sarah Carter is going to join us. And we're going to try and get to the bottom of this. Sidney Powell, who knows more about this than anybody else, and Greg Jarrett check in with us today. But, I mean, this, you know, having these senators now ask for what we have known is needed for over a year, and that is a special counsel. It seems that that now, I would argue today, is has to be inevitable. And I brought up the issue of the recusal or of Jeff Sessions the day after he's confirmed is, has caused all of this damage. Now it's up to him that we get to the bottom of it. Maybe it was a blessing in disguise because we probably wouldn't have found out about the fix being in for Hillary Clinton. We probably wouldn't have found out about, you know, about Hillary Clinton and paying for the dossier and the dossier used as a FISA, as the bulk of information for the FISA warrants, etc. But you got Andrew McCabe, you know, he's begging to keep his pension. I understand it, but that'll be insignificant by the time that all of this is done. You got this fake news media in this country that has been absolutely lying and spreading fake news every single hour of every single day for the last 18 months. You know, the New York Times claiming that the special counsel, Robert Mueller, subpoenaed the Trump Organization. Trump Organization put out a statement yesterday. They've been cooperating the whole time. You know, this we have a literal mountain, a plethora of irrefutable, incontrovertible evidence, and pressure is now building on the attorney general to do the right thing and appoint the special counsel. And apparently there's a very high probability that, in fact, this is going to happen. And by the way, to be honest, that's a victory for the rule of law, equal justice under the law. Our only hope is you got to get somebody that's outside that sewer and that swamp that is known as Washington, D.C. Anyway, in this letter to the AG and Rod Rosenstein needs to be put under oath. I am telling you right now, there's so many questions I have for him. By the way, James Comey is going to go out on his little book tour. I see he's doing The View and Stephen Colbert, and I see he's doing, he's doing little George Stephanopoulos. Why doesn't he do Hannity? I'll do Hannity for an hour. I'll do Comey for 2 hours on TV. I'll do Comey 3 hours on radio. Now, you would think that if you want to sell your book, the place to go would be that show, these shows. He can't get a bigger audience. Why doesn't he do that? I'm not holding my breath. Could you call the publisher, Linda, and ask if Mr. Comey would like to come on the radio and TV programs?
Of course I'll call them and ask them that question.
I'm surprised you haven't already, because I know how...
I don't know what is wrong with me. It's like I have nothing to do.
I know you've been distracted all
week. I've been painting my nails for the past hour.
I know.
Perfect polish.
Are you done?
You know.
All right. But anyway, the investigation has now reached a level where we are now going to be hit with more explosive developments in coming days and stuff that I know is coming. These text messages today reveal an awful lot, but there's so many other questions. And by the way, I know a lot of you have wanted a conclusion to all this. There's going to be, but it's going to take time. Investigations and the wheels of justice do roll ever so slowly. But if you go to this referral, by the way, Graham and Grassley have a referral against Christopher Steele now. And if you look at this new unredacted information, they're now asking the Department of Justice to investigate Christopher Steele for lying to the FBI about their contacts with the media. And remember, Steele was shopping the fake news dossier around, you know, all kinds of mainstream media outlets, New York Times, Washington Post, Yahoo News, fake news, CNN. And Steele, by the way, is a foreign actor. And he's in bed with phony Russian sources. And I thought that that was supposed to be bad if foreign actors, especially the Russians, were trying to influence our elections. And Hillary Clinton's being paid for all of it. Of course, they hid the money. They funneled it through Fusion GPS, funnels it through a law firm, makes it look like a legal expense when, in fact, it was an op research political expense. Also, we have the disgraced former FBI director, Andrew McCabe. Remember, he's the one that is sort of colluding, if you will, to use a word, with Strzok and Page over what our insurance policy is going to be. We expect that between today and tomorrow he's going to be fired. You don't get fired over nothing after working this long at the FBI. And McCabe could be facing, I'm told by numerous sources, multiple criminal charges. Oh, I thought there was nothing to what Hannity's reporting. Yeah, okay, just stick with us. We're right on this. Just stay with us here. And then the Inspector General report, remember, they don't have prosecutorial powers. That's why you need the special counsel. And what happened and what is happening to McCabe today and tomorrow, this don't think this happened in a vacuum in any way. Now, the IG report is going to cover the corrupt email investigation and a lot more. Everything that I've been talking about and everything the rest of the media has been ignoring. Now, you also have the exoneration before investigation. You got Comey and Strzok and Page and other top FBI officials putting the fix in and concluding their investigations before they ever interviewed Hillary or 17 other witnesses. And that goes against, by the way, what James Comey said under oath. I can't believe James Comey's attorney is dumb enough to let him go out on a book tour. This is not going to work out well for Jim Comey. Remember, you do have the right in America to remain silent. Anyway, Comey claiming in front of Congress he didn't reach any conclusion on the Clinton email investigation until after interviewing Hillary. Well, first of all, it was Strzok that interviewed Hillary for the FBI, number one. Number two, why was he writing the exoneration in early May and they didn't talk to Hillary until July? How is that possible? And since we found out that these Clinton bought and paid for lies, which the FBI never verified, which is by law what they're supposed to do, they never corroborated they're supposed to do based on protocol and FISA laws. You know, four separate FISA judges were lied to on four separate occasions. Rod Rosenstein is involved in this. This all needs to be investigated, every bit of it. And you got, you know, we have so much information, it's beyond the pale. All right, 800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program if you want to join us. Look, we got a lot coming up. We've got Sidney Powell. We got Greg Jarrett on the legal side of this. We got Freedom Caucus member Jim Jordan. He and Mark Meadows found this bombshell today. Sarah Carter did amazing work in less than 3 hours putting it all together for us. And she deserves a lot of credit. All right, we got less than a minute, but Pamela is dying to get on from Montana. Less than a minute, Pam. It's all yours.
Hi. I just called to see if you would urge people to call the congressional hotline to tell Jeff Sessions how they feel about firing McCabe.
The congressional or the DOJ hotline?
The DOJ.
You want me to give out the number or you wanted to give out the number?
Well, we both have it. I'm driving right now, but I can kind of read it. It's 202-353-1555.
Well, if people do call it 202-353-1555, I just ask you to be polite, because our audience is always polite. Thank you.
You on the committee have released a series of letters today calling for a special counsel, another special counsel. Why?
I would like to suggest to you that you use the word special counsel, yes, because that's what it is. But we're thinking in terms of a special counsel to work with the inspector general. We have all kinds of confidence in the inspector general's work. We know he's a good person. We know he's doing good work, digs in deep. He's got a staff of maybe about 400, but he doesn't have the capability of working with people that have left the Justice Department. He can only bring in those people that are already in government to investigate. And this special counsel working in a team, and I want to emphasize the word team, with the inspector general, will give him the tools he needs to get all the information that we're asking him to get. And we send him 30 questions that we want investigated. We'll give him the tools to do it because they cannot be counted on to investigate themselves. I mean, it's kind of common sense. If you do something wrong, you don't have the fox guarding the chicken house.
Mr. Steele was sued in May of 2017 in Great Britain for libel. Somebody mentioned in the dossier sued him in British court. And in the response to the lawsuit, he admitted in British court that he had talked to media outlets in September of 2016 about the dossier. The FBI told the FISA court all through 2016, September, October, November, that Mr. Steele had no contacts at all with the media when it comes to shopping around the dossier. So we have a filing in British court where a lawyer for Mr. Steele admits to talking to the American media, worldwide media, in September at the same time of 2016 the FBI was using him as a confidential informant. Somebody needs to look and see whether or not who he's lying to.
All right, that, of course, was Lindsey Graham and Chuck Grassley, and together, along with Senator John Cornyn and Senator Tillis, they are now demanding what we've been asking for on this program a long time, and that's called a special counsel. And we have these newly redacted text messages, never-before-seen text messages, between Strzok and Page, the lovers that they are, revealing the relationship between Strzok and this Judge Contreras, who actually sat on the FISA court, but he was also the judge in the case of Michael Flynn. And it raises, as Congressman Jim Jordan noted, these text messages provide context, but excuse me, why did Judge Contreras recuse himself? What is going on here? How corrupt is this? How deep does this go? And we're still awaiting word either today or tomorrow at some point, and we expect that Andrew McCabe, the former deputy FBI director, is going to be fired before his pension is going to begin on Sunday. But more importantly for him, it's not the pension that he should be worried about as much as criminal charges perhaps being brought against him. Freedom Caucus member, Congressman Jim Jordan, is with us. Sarah Carter, investigative reporter, Fox News contributor. And Congressman Jordan, I'll start with you. I know you apparently are at your son's wrestling match, and I'm sure that's more important than me, but, well, not really.
Nephew's wrestling, yeah. Nephew's wrestling in the NCAA tournament, yeah.
Well, listen, I got to ask you, first of all, without you and Jim and Mark Meadows, we don't have this information. Why is the Department of Justice making it impossible or next to impossible for you guys to get this? This is the information that led to the Nunes memo. And this is the information Rod Rosenstein desperately didn't want to come out. And I'll just add one other point. This is the same Rod Rosenstein. How is it possible he appoints Mueller and he's involved in FISA renewal with the bulk of data coming from Hillary's phony Russian dossier? Isn't that a conflict?
Yeah, there's all kinds of questions that need to be answered. Here are the three key facts, I think, Sean, from these text messages that show the relationship between Peter Strzok and Judge Contreras. First of all, Judge Contreras recused himself from the Flynn case, and he did it after, not before he had Flynn in front of him, not before it was brought. He did it after. So he recused himself from the Flynn case. Second, we have the relationship.
Well, I want you to explain this. After Flynn had pled guilty.
Yes, right. After that, which is highly unusual. Typically, if there's a conflict, you say it on the front end, not after there's been some kind of verdict, some kind of decision. So he recuses himself after. Second, the text message is so clearly there's a relationship between Peter Strzok and Judge Contreras, so much so that they actually, Page and Strzok, talked about it in their text messages. And then third, the Justice Department made it difficult for us to find out this information. So those three facts. Recuse himself. There's a relationship between the judge and Peter Strzok. And third, the Justice Department made it difficult for us to figure this out. The obvious question is why.
I want to ask you this
why
next question. Yeah, okay. But the person that's making it most difficult is the same guy that appointed the special counsel, Robert Mueller. He's also the same guy that was part of the renewal process as it relates to FISA. So what I'm trying to understand here is how is it possible Rod Rosenstein can appoint Mueller and he's involved in the FISA renewal that we now know the bulk of the application is Hillary's bought and paid for Russian dossier that was put together by Christopher Steele. How is that not a conflict? And meanwhile, Jeff Sessions recused himself.
No, I mean, Sean, you couldn't say it any better. That's what frustrates me. It's what frustrates everyone. The thing I keep coming back is, why make it so difficult for the United States Congress to get the information? They gave us redacted copies. In order for us to figure it out, staff had to go over to the Justice Department, view it in camera, not be able to take pictures, not be able to get copies, but only take notes. And that's how the good staff figured out this relationship existed. Why not just be upfront and tell us? What are they trying to hide? Why not give us the truth? So, yeah, I'm as frustrated as everyone. We'd like to get all the documents. Also remember this. Over 1 million documents Mr. Horowitz has been able to look at. My knowledge is, to my knowledge, the Oversight Committee and the Judiciary Committee in the House, we've only seen about 3,100, 3,200 documents.
And there's 50,
and
how many?
And they're heavily redacted.
And how many? And how many do we know? We know there's at least 50,000 text messages between the lovebirds, right?
There is a whole slew of things we haven't seen. And if we have to keep going over there and taking notes on looking at their less redacted versions that are over there, Justice, versus the heavily redacted ones we get, that's the problem.
That is a massive problem.
Yeah, and how do we constitutionally, the Congress is supposed to provide oversight of the executive branch.
Well, this is the House Oversight Committee, is it not?
Yeah, this is right. This is, we're supposed to provide oversight. It's tough to do that when you won't let us see everything.
Oh, I don't even know where to begin. I really don't. Let me bring in Sarah Carter. By the way, why is there all chaos when we're, you know, it was pretty much a done deal that McCabe is getting fired. And then all of a sudden, well, it's going to be at 4. It's going to be at 5. Well, it's likely tomorrow. What is going on over at the Department of Justice? Why is this so complicated?
I wish I knew, Sean. I wish I knew. You know, there was a process that the Justice Department made very clear. The Office of Professional Responsibility has a specific process that McCabe had to go through in order for them to come up with the final decision, I guess. But the Office of Professional Responsibility has asked for him to be fired. And why is this so significant? Because that's the FBI themselves. And according to a lot of sources that I've spoken with, McCabe was very close, actually, to some people in OPR. There are people there that are his friends. I think that's why it was so frustrating. Remember going back to Robin Gritz, people like Robin Gritz who filed complaints with OPR about McCabe last, you know, over 2 years ago, now have, you know, they were extremely frustrated saying, oh, OPR is never going to do anything because it's like basically having the fox guard the hen house, right? And so nothing is going to get done. And now you see that OPR made a recommendation, which means that they discovered something that was so egregious that they had to ask for his firing. Then he goes over to the DOJ, and apparently, according to reports, he's begging to keep his pension, trying to find a way to keep his pension because Sunday is the final day. He turns 50. That's when everything kicks in. And all we know is that he went into the DOJ. He went out through some back door where reporters weren't there, and he left. So he made kind of his plea to the DOJ. We also don't know what is the other information. What is it that they found? What is it that they discovered beyond what we've already heard reported, which was that he misled investigators, lied to them, which, by the way, I mean, he's lying to FBI investigators. That could be criminal. And also to the IG. Was there ever a referral on him? Is there a referral on him for some type of criminal investigation? I have been told by my sources that they're looking at numerous charges. So we really do not know what is going on now. All we know is that the DOJ is heavily invested in this, and something is going to happen. And what I have been told is that he will be fired.
Unbelievable. Now,
Sean,
yeah, go ahead, Congressman
Sean,
Jordan.
Sean, I'm just going to add, if this doesn't underscore what Senator Grassley and Senator Graham and so many of us, and you in particular, have been calling for, why we need a second special counsel, I do not know what does. Why you need, you have to have it. Remember,
why is it taking so long? Because we see everything that needs. Look, we have, I don't mean to interrupt. We know Hillary committed felonies. This is not in dispute anymore. We know the fix was in the FBI investigation. We know that she fixed the primary. We know it took a year, but we found out she paid for the dossier. We know that the phony dossier was fed to a FISA judge, and they lied to the FISA judge. How many more crimes do we need here?
Well, you know what it could be, too. I don't know. I'm speculating here, but maybe we're waiting for Attorney General Sessions and the Justice Department is waiting for Horowitz's report. It's been rumored that it's coming out next month. So we were told several months ago that was the likely date from Mr. Horowitz. So that could be what is holding up. But the truth is, with each and every day, there's someone else stepping up and calling for a special counsel, as evidenced by what Senator Graham and Senator Grassley.
Well, yesterday was a huge day. There's no doubt about it. You cannot deny that yesterday was a big day, and it's what we've been calling for. Sarah, what are the big questions you want answered as of this hour here? And, you know, when I look at these page struck emails and I realize this is only the tip of the iceberg, and then we got the Inspector General report coming. There was one former FBI guy that actually is quoted as saying that this is nothing but pure TNT when it comes out.
Yes, I did see that, and that is exactly what I have been reporting, what you have been saying, Sean, as well, and I know Congressman Jordan now for some time. According to the sources that I've spoken with, this is an extensive investigation by Horowitz. He has truly looked at every aspect of this. There will be multiple documents, multiple reports on his investigation that he will be releasing. It won't just be some kind of four-page overview. He's going to send out multiple reports on everything. So these are some of the questions that I think need to be answered. First, I'd like to know why the DOJ redacted these text messages from Congress. And I think that Congressman Jordan and Congressman Meadows have every right to ask why this was redacted. This is not a national security issue. This wasn't part of their, you know, secret chit-chat back and forth because they were lovers. There's no excuse to not have this information out there because Contreras was very important to this entire process, and he didn't recuse himself until after Flynn actually was there on December 1st, 2017, and turned in the guilty plea. So something happened in between those days, between December 1st and December 7th. Something significant happened. I also would like to know, out of those 1.2 million or so documents that that have been discovered by the IG and he's been reviewing, where is Comey's role in all of this? Because one of the interesting things I've been hearing lately, and particularly over the last few days, is that McCabe is threatening to take everyone else down that was involved in this with him if he is fired.
Oh, I believe that and so much more. All right, Congressman Jordan, we're going to let you go. I know you're at your nephew's match. Any last word you want to add before we let you go?
No. Just remember, Comey's been fired. McCabe is retiring, and he's in trouble. He may be fired this weekend. Rybicki, former chief of staff, has left the DOJ. Jim Baker, former chief counsel, has been demoted and reassigned. Peter Strzok, former deputy head of counterintelligence, demoted, reassigned.
How does he still have a job?
Reassigned.
How does Strzok and Page have a job? It's unbelievable to me.
Exactly. But those top people have all had something happen to them. That's why you can't have them investigate themselves. You've got
exactly.
to have a special counsel.
That you can't investigate yourself. You're right. All right. Great job. Keep sending your staff over there. We need this information. 800-941-SHAWN. We'll continue with Sarah Carter. All right. As we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, we continue with Sarah Carter. Attorneys Sidney Powell, Greg Jarrett, and Sarah is going to stay with us a little longer after the half hour. But I wanted to give you a little time here to finish up. So I read your piece today, and I don't know how you got this together in less than 3 hours. It's really well done, but these new text messages – how do you take it that Judge Contreras, now we know is a BFF of Peter Strzok, it doesn't get any more incestuous. He accepts General Flynn's plea, and then he recuses himself. Now, the new judge, as I understand it, wants all exculpatory information on Flynn's case, and he'll decide what's exculpatory.
Exactly. And I think that's important, too, because just asking for all of that exculpatory evidence, even after Flynn pled guilty, is very significant. I think Andrew McCarthy, who's a brilliant attorney, laid that out very well in a column of his over a month ago or several months ago and explained that quite well. I mean, that is a very significant ask by the judge. And now that we see these text messages, Sean, it reveals so much of it answers so many of our questions, right? Because we kept asking, why did he recuse himself after that? Everybody kept
thinking, it never made sense, right?
Yeah, never made any sense. And now,
all right, Sarah, you can stay with us through the break, right? Can you hang on a few more minutes?
Sure.
All right, Sarah's going to be joined also by Greg Jarrett, Sidney Powell, and this new development today. We have all the latest straight ahead. All right, as we continue, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. Breaking news now, we have new, just-released text messages revealing the FBI agent Peter Strzok was, in fact, friends with the judge in the General Flynn case. By the way, General Flynn, I will predict this is overturned. And if it's not overturned, there's no justice in this country. Absolutely none. And what a way that we actually treat the men that served their country for 35 years. It's unbelievable. Talk about prosecutorial discretion. Where is it? Anyway, so we have these new Eve text messages between the lovebirds. By the way, tell her to come in here because I'm going to make fun of her in a second. I love how everybody comes in. We have a whole group of people here. Before I have to take like a minute today because it's about to be St. Patrick's Day. And everybody, we have Linda, our producer, actually buys more crap, more junk, more candy, more salty things. And I don't know if you really want me to reveal your name. You want me to? Oh, no, you have no voice. You're lying. You're absolutely. You can't go ahead and talk.
Hello.
What did you do? What did you just steal?
I stole a Reese's and a Kit Kat and a Raisin.
This is what we do. We literally fill people, like, we're shooting their veins full of sugar so they keep working around this place every day. It's unbelievable. All right. Well, you feel better.
I feel much better now that I have chocolate.
Oh, okay. There we go. 800-941-SHAWN. Anyway, back to my point. So we have the new text messages. I find it hilarious that everyone just runs in there and Linda feeds the world. She's like the mother that won't go away. Hey, what do you mean you won't eat the whole 500 pounds of food in front of you? But anyway, so the new text messages reveal that Strzok is friends with the judge that presides over the Flynn case. Flynn pleads guilty in that particular case. And then he mysteriously, you know, just recuses himself a week after Flynn pleads guilty. Nobody understood that. Now, on the legal side of what's going on here, we welcome back to the program Sidney Powell, author of the book License to Lie, Exposing Corruption in the Department of Justice, federal appellate attorney and senior advisor for America First, Greg Jarrett. Of course, our Fox News legal analyst, and Greg has been doing phenomenal work as well on this case the whole time. And we continue also with Sarah Carter, investigative reporter. She wrote this piece about these brand new text messages. What's your take? I think a mystery has been solved here in a way, right, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, it has been a mystery. Why did Contreras recuse himself a week after Flynn's guilty plea? This appears to be the reason. He was close friends with a key witness in the case, which tells me he should have recused himself a whole lot sooner. And why did he hide the reason? He should have been forthcoming and honest about it. He's still not giving his reasons. And to make matters worse, as Sarah learned, some of these text messages say that Contreras is one of the FISA judges. And Strzok is bragging that, you know, he is in charge of.
By the way, this is
for the FBI.
But let's give the timeline here. This is after he takes the guilty plea of Flynn, correct?
Yeah, but the text messages are before he takes the guilty plea. So,
right.
You know, here is quite the cozy relationship and certainly a conflict of interest.
Yeah. Well, I think there's other questions, too, here. And let me bring Sidney Powell in. You know, Contreras was one of the FISA judges. Now, one of the questions I've had is, why don't we ever get to hear from the judges that we now know, Sidney, were lied to? And they were lied to in the sense that they were never told, even though everybody knew that the dossier was bought and paid for. They were never told that information. They omitted a very key fact in the case. And I'll ask you a question I was asking Jim Jordan in the last hour. How is it possible that Rod Rosenstein, the guy that appoints Mueller because of Sessions' recusal, is involved in the FISA renewal with the bulk of data coming from the phony dossier? How can he be playing both roles there? Why didn't he recuse himself?
Well, I'm still wondering that myself, Sean. And on top of that, it was also one of them was signed by Dana Valente, who is now general counsel at the FBI, as I understand it. So they've just kind of, you know, recycled people to different positions that all had their fingerprints on the phony.
Well, can you express that? I don't know if I heard you correctly. Say that again.
I think Dana Valente, who also signed one of the FISA court applications, is now general counsel at the FBI.
What?
So we need to double check.
Sarah, is that true? Do you know, Sarah?
I think she's right. I can't be 100% certain right now, but yes, I've heard that Dana Buente is there. She did sign one of those. Remember, Sally Yates also signed one. So did Rod Rosenstein. So there were a number of people there that were involved in those reauthorizations for Carter Page. So that's very interesting. I also heard, and this may be new news from people within the FBI, that Peter Strzok was traveling, actually, for the FBI just last week, and continues working. So he's not sitting in an office somewhere just waiting for something to happen. I found that very interesting as well.
But,
Sean, I think there's more to the recusal of Judge Contreras than just his friendship with Peter Stroke.
All right, hang on. Let me just, Dana, this person you're mentioning, how do you say the last name? Buente?
Buente, I think.
Yeah. Is the acting head of the Justice Department's National Security Division and the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia.
And he's now been picked, general counsel of the FBI.
I was just to say, he's now been picked to become the new FBI general counsel. You are absolutely right.
And he's one of the people who signed one of the FISA applications, along with Rod Rosenstein and Sally Yates. And so how they recycled him to the FBI is beyond my comprehension. And that, I think there's more to the Contreras recusal than just the Peter Stroke friendship, because he was on the FISA court. And I want to know if he's one of the ones who signed one of those phony warrant applications and approved it and let the surveillance go on Carter Page.
Well, just look at the text messages themselves, Sean. I mean, and these were back in 2016. And, you know, Strzok says, I'm in charge of espionage for the FBI. Any espionage FISA comes before him, talking about Contreras. What should he do, given his friend oversees them? And then, you know, Page answers, standards for recusal are quite high. I just don't think this poses an actual conflict, and he doesn't know what you do. And then Strzok says, he pretty much does know what I do.
Unbelievable, which shows, I would argue, Greg, that shows a conflict of interest, which makes matters worse. You know, and when he brags that he's in charge of the espionage for the FBI.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's no wonder why people in America don't trust government. Everybody's in bed with everybody else, and they hide it. They conceal it. And the Department of Justice fought hard to keep all of this secret.
Well, let me add one point.
Primarily Rosenstein.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Rosenstein was the one begging Paul Ryan.
Which just tells you about the high level of corruption at the Department of Justice, where Rosenstein is really in charge, not Sessions, and the corruption at the FBI in the top ranks. They continue to obstruct Congress, which has constitutional oversight authority, but the FBI and DOJ continue to obstruct.
All right, let me ask you all this question. Now what happens to the Flynn case? Because the new judge in this case is demanding all exculpatory evidence, and the judge, if I remember correctly, said he will decide what's exculpatory, meaning give us everything you got. And this is the guy that worked on the Ted Stevens case.
I've had an article out for a couple of weeks.
Will be dropped.
I agree with Greg. I agree they'll be dropped. Sydney, you were saying something.
Yes, I've had an article out for a couple of weeks on the Daily Caller saying that Flynn should be allowed to withdraw his guilty plea and that Judge Sullivan could move to, he could dismiss the whole thing for egregious prosecutorial misconduct.
Let's point out, if that happens, Andrew Weissman strikes again, right?
Exactly, yes.
Unbelievable. Well,
this is exactly what happened in the Alaska Senator Stevens case, in which Sullivan was the presiding judge on that when he found out that the FBI was hiding exculpatory evidence and lying. And in the end, he basically saw to it that all charges and convictions were set aside, as Sidney is proposing here. And I predict, along with you, Sean, that's what's going to happen.
I can't believe all of this is unfolding in the United States of America. Am I the only one that's shocked out of us? Am I the only person?
I don't think so. I think the American public is extremely shocked, Sean. I mean, that's why we're seeing so many emails from people and, you know, retweets of the story, and the American public is demanding answers. It's unfortunate that a lot of the media has, not talking our media, but has ignored this, you know? And unfortunately for that, they're not serving the American public.
Well, Sean, you know, my book, Licensed to Lie, has been out since 2014 that details a lot of this, including the backstory on Andrew Weissman and the Ted Stevens case and the misconduct there. The Obama administration affirmatively suppressed any sort of discussion of that book, I'm convinced. And, you know, it just rings true more every day.
Mueller thought that, I guess, he knew better than the FBI, Greg. And the FBI agents struck, interviewed And Comey said, they both said they believed
they
General Flynn.
They went right back to Comey and to Sally Yates, who was then serving as the attorney general until Sessions was confirmed. And without missing a beat, even though they both knew that Flynn had been cleared by their own agents, Sally Yates goes over to the White House, meets with the White House counsel, and basically makes up a lie that Flynn is subject to blackmail by the Russian. Well, you can't be if he's telling the truth. You can't be blackmailed over the truth. And she basically tricked the White House into firing Flynn. And even though he had been found guilty of no wrongdoing, the FBI continued the case, handed it off to Mueller. Mueller thinks he knows better than everybody else. And he brought a prosecution against Flynn. And Flynn only caved in, not because he was guilty, but because he was penniless.
The poor guy, General Flynn, is selling his house to pay legal bills, for God's sakes.
And I'm sure they threatened to indict his son.
Well, that's the other. I guarantee you they, because they, that's their tactic all the time. Well, if you don't plead guilty to this, you know, your son is under investigation, too. But I think we can make that go away if you agree to this.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, they put the squeeze on him. This is the power of overzealous prosecutors in the FBI. They can destroy your life. They do it without any qualms. They do it with impunity.
Yeah, look at what they're doing to Manafort. There are now two different prosecutions against him for tens of counts each.
Yeah, in 2005.
In two different districts.
Yeah, and what did this have to do with Trump-Russia collusion? Nothing. Nothing. They just got to justify their existence and expand the mandate, right?
Exactly.
Well, why don't they expand the mandate into Hillary fixing a primary and the FBI fixing, you know, the crimes of felonies we know she committed and colluding with Russia. There's your answer. Where's that investigation? Where is Jeff Sessions? We can't even get an answer out of these people about what's happening to McCabe today.
The very fact that it's taking this long to fire McCabe is offensive.
Yeah, I mean, if Mueller had an ounce of
integrity. It's not just defensive. It's kind of incredible because, once again, it's the FBI that is asking for him to be fired. It's not like the DOJ is going over to the FBI and saying, hey, fire this guy. It's the FBI that is asking and saying and recommending that McCabe be fired.
All right, last question, and I'll throw this at Greg and Sydney. What about Steele? And, you know, here's an outsider, a foreigner, involved in, you know, using phony Russian contacts and the whole Trump-Russia hoax. What happens to him?
And influencing the election,
To try to influence the election, which I thought this was all about, right? What happens with him?
Yeah. Well, you know, he didn't show up for his deposition, so now a British judge has ordered him to show up. If he doesn't appear, he's in contempt. He gets caught, tossed in the hoose can. I mean, I read Christopher Steele's British interrogatories in that case. He admits all of what he wrote was unverifiable, that his sources would deny the allegations. And if you read it really closely, he is confessing it was all just a fairy tale.
Oh, my. You guys have all been amazing. The media in this country is an utter disgrace. And when I said journalism is dead, I had no idea how right I was back in 2007. We're going to break this wide open tonight on Hannity. 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Thank you all for being with us, Sarah, Greg, and Sydney. We appreciate it. We'll continue our coverage on the other side of this. We have some other news we got to get to today. Michelle Malkin joins us next. We'll get to your calls. So the guy, the 5-time deported criminal that murdered innocent Kate Steinle, if you can believe it, is now actually suing the federal government. I don't make this up. In other words, the illegal immigrant acquitted last year of murdering 32-year-old Kate Steinle is now suing the federal government, demanding that it produce documents pertaining to, quote, vindictive prosecution and collusion. And remember, when this all happened, the outrage that that happened afterward. But this guy was arrested for violating the terms of the 2015 federal prison release. And it just, you can't make it up.
Not going to disclose the video at this time, and we may never disclose the video depending on the prosecution and the criminal case.
But what I saw was a deputy
arrive at the west side of Building 12, take up a position, and he never went in. And he took up a position where it looked like he could see the westernmost entry into the building and stayed where he was. Never went in.
All right, that, of course, Sheriff Israel, 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. News Roundup, information overload. All right, Sheriff Israel, oh, we're not going to release the tape. Well, now the tape has been released, and in spite of his wishes, and it is probably the most shocking thing I've ever seen in my life, because I know too many law enforcement people, and every single law enforcement person I know would have raced into that building. And, you know, to watch the guy in the golf cart and then the guy taking a position behind concrete outside when the shooter's inside, you know, I've just have never seen anything like it. Anyway, Michelle Malkin is here to weigh in on that and our other big story of the day, of course, which is about Andrew McCabe and the new text messages revealing the FBI agents were friends with the judge in the Michael Flynn case. Michelle Malkin, always great to have you. I've never seen a police officer act like that. We know what we saw on 9/11. We know what we see in every other example. And it seems to me the fact that four cops did this tells me only one thing, that they were taught protocol and they were following it. And I can't believe that that was the protocol down there and the sheriff bragging about it.
Yeah, you're right, Sean. And all of my friends in uniform, the best and the brightest, the finest and blue across this country, are absolutely disgusted by what those tapes showed. As you mentioned, the Broward Coward sheriff there opposed disclosing this to the public, and only because they were forced to by a media lawsuit did we get to see what we all suspected. It was more confirmation than revelation. But I think that there's still so much more to the story. I have sources that are connected to Scott Peterson, who was shown just standing there by the side of the building. And I think that the public records request for the radio transmissions and traffic will tell us a lot more. And again, will probably be confirmation of what we already can see from inferring from Sheriff Israel's grandstanding. And I think, you know, that there's already a defamation lawsuit by Scott Peterson as well. So the truth will out, and I think that we can be thankful for some of the other local law enforcement in other districts who came forward and forced Sheriff Israel to even acknowledge as much as he has so far.
Well, and predictably, the debate is always about the gun. The biggest school shooting was done with a handgun, and what's not happening is what I have called for, and I know you agree with, and you wrote a great column recently about school safety and security, and that is, let's do a full, complete security threat assessment. Let's have IDs for the kids getting into school, metal detectors. Then we need retired policemen and military to surround the perimeter in some way, at least monitor it. And we need those policemen and retired military on the floor of every school, because these shootings on average are over in 3 minutes. You don't have time for any police department to respond.
That's right. And that's already in place here in Colorado post-Columbine. You have a lot of retired military, retired LEOs, even some active duty LEOs who spend their spare time volunteering to help out, not only designing school security plans, but implementing them. You have NRA officials and leaders and members who volunteer to help do this. There's so much besides grabbing the guns of law-abiding citizens that can be done to improve and to protect our kids. And unfortunately, this week with all of these school walkouts, it's the last thing that any of these political and ideological extremists wanted to talk about. In fact, teachers who did offer alternative proposals, students who opposed undermining the Second Amendment, were punished in so many of these school districts. And now I think we're going to test the limits of the double standards of free speech in school. My daughter said that many of the students in her class who did not participate in the walkout earlier this week now want to know if the schools, many of which, of course, sponsored these things and these were top-down astroturf activism, whether they're going to tolerate students who believe in the Second Amendment walking out on principle.
Let me ask you before I get to our top story, which is unbelievable news today. You know the case of Kate Steinle, the 5 times deported illegal immigrant that shot her to death. Well, this guy is now suing the federal government for, get this, vindictive prosecution. There's no question who that he committed the murder. I mean, you know, not only did the guy enter this country and he had the capacity to enter the country 5 separate times, but then he kills an innocent woman walking with her father, and now he's suing us.
That's right. I think most people will be shocked to know how much access illegal aliens have to our court system. They get multiple bites at the apple. Now, here's the legal question here. So he was convicted on the charge of illegally possessing a firearm and being in this country illegally at the state level, the California Penal Code. Now, what the federal prosecutors want to do is also prosecute him separately under felony charges of the same charge. So the left and the open borders lawyers, and there are so many of them who volunteer their time subsidized by SOTUS to represent illegal aliens in court, are arguing that this is somehow double jeopardy. It's not true. Even Yale law scholars who are sympathetic to illegal aliens have pointed out that there is a very long-standing tradition of a dual sovereignty exception.
All right, let me.
If you have different jurisdictions, you can still prosecute on the same charge.
All right, let me ask you about the top story of the day. We have these, of course, we have Andrew McCabe and the big story with him, but I think even bigger news is we've got these newly redacted text messages discovered by these congressional investigators revealing the FBI agent, Peter Strzok, at the center of this Russia investigation. Remember, he started it, was friends with the District of Columbia judge who recused himself from the criminal case of National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. And these text messages, which are part of the text given to Congress by the Department of Justice, only just discovered, show that the FBI agent Peter Strzok and his lover, Lisa Page, were discussing Strzok's relationship with the U.S. District Court Judge Rudolph Contreras, and he presided over a December 1st, 2017 hearing with Michael Flynn when he pled guilty to the FBI. And Strzok was removed from Mueller's special counsel office last year. And you look at this thing, and it was nothing but a setup. I mean, I mean, this is the biggest abuse of power scandal I've ever seen in my life. You know, Rudy's on the FISA court. Did you know that? Just appointed 2 months ago.
Yeah, it gets more and more shocking every day, and you are being vindicated for being on this story from day one, Sean. And the text messages show that not only were Strzok and Page in bed with each other, but figuratively, they were in bed with this FISA court judge with whom they had schemed to get together in a dinner party to make sure that they were evading whatever ethics laws there were about actually directly talking to him about the case. And then, of course, recused only after Flynn had pled guilty. It is a massive, massive scandal. And I never imagined when I wrote Culture of Corruption that it would be as deep and wide and as fetid as we're seeing now.
I read through this. Oh, that's because I thought of it because you had to Google FISA judges and him there. I'm telling you. And he goes, yeah, she brought up a good point about being circumspect and talking to him in terms of not placing him into a situation where he'd have to recuse himself. Page writes, I can't imagine either one of you would talk about anything in detail meaningful enough to warrant recusal. And Page then goes back to discussing a different issue, saying, well, anyway, maybe you meant to, but didn't. And Strzok writes, yeah. Really, Rudy? I'm in charge of espionage for the FBI. Any espionage, yeah. FISA comes before him. What should he do? Given his friends right. Overseas? I mean, this is a setup. I've never seen this is such an abuse of power.
It is. And, you know, the intimacy with which they talk to each other, the first name basis, it is truly alarming because for most people, the FISA court system and the application of warrants, the entire courts were really a mystery to people until after 9/11. And then people understood that we needed a secure court system that was separate from our regular courts. We needed to have the
the high level of security clearance there was, because these people were dealing with, you know, very highly sensitive, classified information, and we put an enormous amount of trust in this national security apparatus that now has been as prostituted and corrupted as any other agency in the federal government and the political system in D.C. The whole thing has rocked the infrastructure to its core.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you have Page saying, well, the standards for recusal are quite high, I just don't think this poses an actual conflict. Meanwhile, they're on an intimate basis, their friendship with the judge I'm talking about. And then Strzok said, well, generally, he does know what I do, not the level of scope or area, but he's super thoughtful and rigorous about ethics and conflicts, redacted, suggested a social gathering setting with others would probably be better than a one-on-one meeting. I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to invite you to that cocktail party, and of course you'll be there and, you know, have to come up with some other work people cover for action. Why more?
Yeah.
Six is perfectly fine for a dinner party. I mean, you know, I honestly cannot believe that this is happening in this country. You have primaries rigged. You have investigations rigged to favor so Hillary Clinton can keep running it for president. Then you have, you know, Hillary's the one that's paying for Russian lies to impact the American people in an election. Then they're lying to FISA judges. And then you're finding out the biggest Trump hater of all, that's the guy that interviewed Hillary, the guy that interviewed Michael Flynn. Oh, he's the same guy involved in everything involved in this and best friends with one of the FISA court judges.
It's what ordinary, decent Americans hate so much about the Beltway Swamp. I mean, you have run-of-the-mill pay-to-play scandals every single day in this country, but nobody has taken it to the level that Hillary and Bill Clinton had until, of course, we've seen what happened under the Obama administration. And this really was supposed to be the last sanctuary, the last vestige, our national security apparatus. And if people don't go to jail, Sean, I just can't imagine, you know, what the American people are going to do this next election cycle. And then look, you've got so many of these players now out there preening and feathering their own caps and becoming far left resistance leaders and out there ready to shill more books that are going to lie about the lies that they've told in furtherance of political power.
Listen, I've warned Jim Comey. He's going on his little book tour on The View and on Georgie Stephanopoulos, and I guess he's doing Stephen Colbert. He does have the right to remain silent. That's my advice to Jim Comey. All right, we continue with Michelle Malkin as she joins us here on the Sean Hannity Show pre-St. Patty's Day. Jim Comey is up to his eyeballs in legal issues, just like McCabe is. And look, to use the words that I mentioned earlier in the program today, former top FBI official, the upcoming Inspector General report contains some pure TNT. So let's see what happens. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Michelle, we love having you on. You're the best. And I'm so proud of you. For those that don't know, Michelle, if you've missed her for a period of time, her daughter was very sick, and Michelle worked night and day and day and night and has helped her daughter through a very troubling time. She's now in college and doing amazingly well, and prayers work, and we're proud of you. And you, the courage you also showed in sharing your story as a parent that is in, you know, agony, but also resolved to solve and love their child and fix the problem. You're amazing. I absolutely adore you for it.
Oh, well, thank you, big bro. You're definitely such a huge part of our family, and I appreciate all your support all these years, and I am for sure a proud mama.
Well, congratulations, and I also know you got your award recently from Hollywood. I have no earthly idea how that ever happened, but we're really proud of you that it did, which is well-deserved, and we wish you the best, as always. By the way, Michelle, just so bring our audience, and she's like, we're brother and sister.
We are bonded for life.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, please hugs to your daughter from everybody. I know a lot of people in this audience were praying for her, and we're so happy with the result.
Thank you so much, Sean. Take care.
800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. Ah, a wee bit of the Irish, St. Paddy's Day. Oh, we have a preview and much more. And we'll get to your calls and comments, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. All right, but it is St. Patrick's Day, and we do have our classic St. Patrick's Day open, so everyone's asking for it. Here we go.
Coming this March 17th, Dublin's very own talk show leprechaun, Sean O'Hannity.
Top of the morning to ya. This is your right-wing, ultra-conservative leprechaun, Sean O'Hannity. Let's go to the phones now and to Bruno. Hello, Bruno.
Sean, you know what I think? I think you're nothing but a low-down, no-good, self-righteous little son of a bitch.
Hey, now watch your language there on the Sean O'Hannity show, Bruno. Now I'm going to have to hannitize ya with me lucky shillelagh. See you there, Bruno. I turned you into a jackass, like you weren't one already. Who's next on the Sean O'Hannity show? Hello?
Hey, Sean, I'm a liberal Democrat, and I think you and Rush Limbaugh are a couple of right-wing, wife-beating, egomaniacal Republican, vomit-spouting, bombastic, warmongering, heinous, antifreeze drinking.
Right there. Well, let me tell you what I think. I think I'm going to have to hannitize ya.
Oh, what am I saying? I think you and Rush Limbaugh are great. I love you.
Well, that's what we like to hear. Peace and love on the Sean O'Hannity Show. Who's next? That's Jimbo incoming.
Hey,
what?
Sean.
What?
Hey,
what?
Look, listen, I got my Confederate flag in the back of my pica.
You know what, Jimbo? You're nothing but a redneck loser for a lost cause. Who's next?
It's stimulating conversation with Dublin's very own conservative leprechaun, Sean O'Hannity. Call and be hannitized.
Top of the morning to ya, you coward.
Sean Hannity.
All right, happy Friday. Happy St. Patty's Day. What I don't understand, and thank God St. Patrick's Day is on a weekend. Thank God it's tomorrow. Thank God I don't live in New York City. There's nothing worse than watching grown adults vomit green beer. And it happens every year.
I think SantaCon in New York City has actually gotten worse, though, because just to see a bunch of drunk Santas throwing up for little kids.
Yeah, I know. That's a problem, too, in New York City. You know, look at Jason. He's laughing. I'm sure you've never seen that at Coyote Ugly either.
I experienced that the first time 2 years ago. I was going to go in there around 3 o'clock. I thought there'd be like five people in the bar, and I didn't know much about SantaCon, and that place, and Coyote's a small bar, had 60 people, and they were charging people to get in the bar.
I wonder what it would be like if I went into Coyote Ugly with you one night. Would anybody know me?
A couple of the regulars might.
Because they know you work with me.
Well, they know where their bonus comes from, so.
Is that, you give the girls bonuses?
I give all the staff bonuses.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not
when
kidding.
I give you a bonus, you share your bonus with the girls at Coyote Ugly?
Yeah, and the rest of the money is in my savings account for when I really need it, property tax.
Oh, man, good thing I give you a lot of money every year. Jeez. All right, let's get to our busy phones. Matt is in Orlando, News Radio, WDBO. What's up, Matt? How are you? Glad you called.
Hey, Sean, how are you? Irish-American, Long Island veteran.
Military. Yes, sir. Wee bit of the Irish in you, I see, my lad.
Oh. A wee bit. When I got out of the military, I went back upstate and went back to the Saratoga area. And then the liberals up there, just the vampire state just got to me, man. It sucked the blood right out of me.
You know what? That's such a great... First of all, thank you for your service. Secondly, the vampire state, is they're sucking the blood out of everybody, and they're literally enticing people. They're saying, go live somewhere nicer with better weather, like you're living in Orlando. What's the weather in Orlando today?
Right now, I'm by my pool. It's about 75 and sunny. I'm getting a little sun. I might have to go back in the shade. And I think you should come down here. If you need to come down here, and you want somebody to scrap with you, to spar with you, I'm up for it.
Problem is everybody that I spar with, grapple with, they actually hate the fact, because my sensei has one very strict rule. We can't hit Hannity in the face because it's not going to be good for his career. So it ends up one guy, I'm sparring with a friend of mine, and we're going at it, and literally by accident, you know, because that's the rule, we don't hit each other in the face. Everyone has to go to work the next day. We don't need scars and stitches and lost teeth. So anyway, one day I literally am throwing an uppercut to the stomach,
and he ducked his head down right into my fist. I broke my finger, and it literally was like blood shooting out like a stream. And we were all laughing. I don't, why are we laughing? My fingers busted in half, and his face is, you know, literally a mess. And we all thought it was funny. What's wrong with it? We're absolutely insane.
My Irish Catholic family, with me and my three brothers and my one sister, which my sister can beat all of our butts. But we used to beat the heck out of each other, and no face shots. That's the rule.
No, by the way, and think of it today. You know, if there's a fight in school, oh my, you know, it's like the worst thing on earth. But, you know, fighting was a part of everyday life when we went to school and when we played sports and we played hockey. I mean, my childhood is riddled with fist fights. And it just was normal where I grew up. And it was, middle class neighborhood. And the big kids picked on the little picked on us. And we picked on the kids younger than us. It was horrible. It was a pecking order. Well, I turned out okay, at least in some people's eyes.
Except that you laugh when you split your finger open and you put your finger in the front face.
Look, this is the finger. Remember I had that splint on for like
gross.
3 months? Yeah, and by the way, it didn't heal very well either because I refused to wear the splint. All right, let's go to Charles in Texas. Charles, how are you? Glad you called, sir, and happy Friday to you.
And son, how you doing? Good to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
It's an honor, really. I want to tell you how much I appreciate your radio program and your TV broadcast tonight, and what good it's done for the country. I think to investigate these cases with the FBI, the higher ups, and things that they've gotten away with, and it's just a value to have somebody with the guts to bring all this stuff out. And I really appreciate you being on it so hard, you and your colleagues.
Well, it's now, you know, look at the news today. Thank God we're here where we are. Yeah, and Rush has been awesome. Mark's been awesome. I agree with you.
Yeah, I've listened to you off now for many years. And you're standalone, though. Lately with this, what's going on, you're standalone in the value that you are to the American people. And I just wanted to let you know that.
Look, I really appreciate it. I've got to give credit and share credit with a lot of other people, though. Rush, Mark, right up there, you know, at the top of the list. People like Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, people like Jay Sekulow. Who am I missing? I don't like to miss people when I start doing my list. Tom Fitton, Sidney Powell. There's a small group of us, and it's amazing. You know, and I said this, I wish we were wrong in some ways because the country is about to go through a very tumultuous time because this is the biggest abuse of power scandal we've ever had. And McCabe is just the tip of the iceberg. These text messages today, it's only the tip of the iceberg. The Inspector General report will only be the tip of the iceberg. I mean, am I happy that, yeah, we've been right and the media has been wrong? I mean, look, if I was wrong, I would be excoriated every day. But the fact is, we've done a deep dive. And I know some of you at times have gotten frustrated because we don't get over the finish line on any one given day. But it's just not the way investigative reporting works. And unfortunately, there's no media anymore in this country. There is no such thing as real journalism anymore. And in that sense, we're filling a void by doing it. I'm a talk show host, but part of being a talk show host is being objective at times, reporting at times. Digging up information, doing just balanced interviews at times. Sure, I give strong opinion, but that's all encompassing. But being a journalist is part of what we do. You're not a real journalist. Yeah, we're breaking real news here on a pretty regular basis. All right, let's get to our point. I appreciate your kind words. Julianne is in New Jersey. What's up, Julianne? How are you? Glad you called.
Hi, Sean. This is an honor to speak to you.
Hey, the honor's all mine. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And you turned out just fine. You're honest. And I appreciate your show. And I appreciate you repeating and laying out step by step every night and during the day the corruption at the FBI. Because so many people are just not getting it. They're just not getting it. I mean, Mueller is there for the reason to cover up his misdoing. He is so corrupt. I mean, the FBI has more information and accurate information than anywhere on planet Earth. And yet, when he was put in this position, he knew already that this was just a farce. Like you call it a farce, it's a farce. This whole investigation on Trump and turning the blind eye on all the stuff in the Clinton campaign.
I want to make sure, though, Julianne, I want everybody, and I've said it so many times, but it bears repeating. Don't measure or don't think of this as some monolithic group.
there's 99.9% of law enforcement, including FBI, intel community people, CIA people. They've got a really dangerous job, and they put their life on the line for us every day. They are this. They're not. Let's not, you know, broad brush everybody like sometimes people on the left do. I thank them for their service. I know they're good people, and I know that they're as frustrated as I am that some of these things have happened in the upper echelon in the power offices within their organizations, and they're happy. They want this cleaned up. They want the respect that they deserve, and they get it, and they get my respect, and I just want to be clear who I'm talking about.
Be with you totally. I know at the top, Rod Rosenstein and Mueller and Comey and all of them at the top. And the one person you did leave out is Chris Farrell. He is the director of investigations at Judicial Watch, and he stated that at the top, at least, has to be overhauled at the FBI. And I know that.
Well, look what's happening today. And again, tonight we have a very important show. I hope everybody can watch. Look, if you need to go out tonight, go out an hour later, because the information we have is beyond the pale. But Julianne, God bless you. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Had a wee bit of the Irish is in everyone tomorrow. Tip of the Edingo Brah, whatever that means. I got interviewed by the Irish Times for St. Patrick's Day. I'm on the cover. Yeah, I don't do many interviews, and I was so happy to do
You're on the cover?
I'm on the cover. Yeah, New York City. I know. And the woman that wrote the article wants me to go back to, you know, where my roots are and go, you know, meet maybe I have family there.
We should do a Hannity special.
Oh, my God. Can we please go? I think it would be like the most amazing thing ever.
Oh, my God.
We'll Facebook Live the whole trip.
Will you wear a green tuxedo?
Ew, no. Ethan. What's wrong with you?
You know, you're so.
And happy St. Patty's Day tomorrow.
Unbelievable. All right. Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern. We have the new struck page memos, scandals, text messages, Judge Contreras. We've got it all. The dossier deposition, full coverage tonight. Tom Fitton, Herman Cain. We got Sarah Carter. We've got Greg Jarrett. We got Sean Spicer. We got Dr. Gorka. We've got and so much more. It's all coming up regular time, 9 Eastern, Hannity. Breaking news you won't get anywhere else in the media. Journalism in America is dead. We're not dead, though. We're filling the void. Listen, we'll see you tonight at 9. Have a great, great weekend. Have a great St. Patty's Day, and we'll see you on Monday.